glory to your name. Father, thank you for your Son. And we glory in the name Jesus. We glory in Him. Lord, thank you for this anointing, the anointing of your love, your Spirit's power. Lord God, that we know that we're loved. Thank you, Jesus. God, we don't doubt. Thank you that your perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, thank you for the testimony of that song, the sincerity and truth. Lord, thank you that we just draw nigh to you in full assurance of faith, believing today. That praise be to God. You said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And Lord, that the Father be glorified in the Son. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Lord, help our unbelief. God, increase our faith today. And Lord, we're going to hear the word because that's your will. And God, it's your doing. And it's by your Spirit's power, Jesus. Lord, let us grow on today, God. And looking up, God, let our gaze not, again, be distracted, Lord. Set our faces like a flint unto you, Lord Jesus. Looking for your soon appearing, Lord God. As brother played, Lord Jesus, I'm dancing in that field with you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for that vision, Lord. Without that vision, we will perish. Lord, thank you again for the vision of Paul's gospel. Let us not be ashamed of that gospel. Lord, let us not be ashamed of the love that we're loved with. Let's not be ashamed to love one another. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the anointing of your love to us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How could we not be excited? Oh, how could we even keep still? As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, for the word of God is quick. Oh, it's quick. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing. Asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He is sharper than any two-edged sword. He's the discerner of our heart's intent. All things are made manifest in our lives before the Lord. Now, this verse can be very upsetting to ones that really don't understand and know the grace and mercy of the Lord. But to us who believe and know, praise God, and know the love of Christ, this is one of the most breathtaking and beautiful truths of the entire Bible. The comfort that my God loves me. The comfort that my God is consumed with me. The comfort that He cares for me. The comfort, praise God, that He knows me. And praise God, the comfort that He is concerned with every intimate detail of my life beyond anything that I could ever imagine. Brothers and sisters, not only does He know my body, and He knows it, knows your body. Not only does He know the hair on your head. Not only does He know your thoughts, past, present, and future. Oh, yes. Brothers and sisters, He knows the intent of my heart in every matter. He's that concerned with me. He's that in love with me. Because He wants me to have His best. You know, there's a father's love for his children. And I thank God that my dad loved his children. And he showed that all the time. The interest in us kids that He wanted us to have the best that we could have, naturally speaking. whether it was education, experience, all these different things that were provided. And I understand that in type, especially with my Father God, how He wants the best for me. But then, praise God, as I have become to know His Son and His Son's love for me, I understand that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants the best for me with Him. He wants the best for me with Him, for us, for eternity. But I'll tell you what, it even gets better. Here's the really good part. Jesus, the Word, praise God, His very heart is cutting on us. Do you know that? It's His heart. It's His love. His chastening, praise God, is His love that's molding and shaping us. And as we've rejoiced for many years, shaping us, yes, for a bridal garment. Matter of fact, it's called a bridal gown. And she will wear that. And she will perfectly fit that gown, which is the very righteousness of the saints. And as we've rejoiced time and time again, the light that is emitted from that garment, her light, is known as the very light of Him. It's exclusive between the bride and the bridegroom. All of the other light that is seen in heaven is a wondrous, glorious light. But the light that is shared between the bride and the bridegroom, it's a light that surpasses all the glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, this chastening is readying us to be glorified together with Him. He wants us to be glorified together with Him. See, it's interesting to think that somehow that God would give us such wonderful types in our families, but somehow God was just giving us that type to distract or to give us something that was different than understanding what He even has in a greater, not even to be compared, glory with Him. Think about that. As I mentioned, my dad to his children, nurturing, caring for them. Isn't that the same thing in such a way that could not even be compared with our Father God to us, His sons? Amen. Well, then you think about the height of our relationships that we have as men and women. It's marriage. It's entering into that wonderful, it's a love commitment. It's a love vow. It's love that brings those hearts, and as the Word of God even tells us in His, the souls together. They love one another. And they'll depart from all things in even change of life just to be together. I did not marry my wife so she could be my servant. I didn't marry her that she could stand and walk behind me 10 paces. I married her because she's glorious. And matter of fact, she's my glory. And I want her to share in all of the glory with me. And I'm telling you, even as in the natural, I miss when she's not here to share in the glory that's here with me today. How could somehow that be different in type with what Christ will share with His wife? And it's not, if you know the Word of God. It's the same in type glory. He wants us to be glorified together with Him. He wants us to grow up to be that fully mature, ready wife for Him. He doesn't want us to remain a child. The Word of God tells us that very distinctly, that we would grow up, that we would get off of the milk and get on to strong meat so we can grow up for Him, to be glorified together with Him. Not to be a reflected glory. The moon is wonderful, but He has in mind for you in purpose sun glory together with Him. He said that many daughters have done virtuously, but Thou excellest them all. They're beautiful, they're incredible. But oh, you're the glory, you're the star. That's the glory he wants you to share. That it was truly, it had to be that goodly pearl. He sold all that he had to seek that out. That is exactly why he ascended to the right hand of the Father, to send the Spirit, that the Father would seek the true worshiper, the sincere worshiper, the one who is sincerely in love, that would worship him in spirit and in truth. Over and over throughout the Word of God, and we can go on and on, and matter of fact, it'll go on for the ages to come. How great a love wherewith we are loved. How surpassing it is, brothers and sisters. But God help us to embrace that, because he wants us to have salvation's best. He wants us to have salvation with eternal glory. But as we begin today with this sharper than any two-edged sword, this sword that discerns the heart, we need to embrace this. The sons of God endure chastening. Amen? By the grace of God, as Brother Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Who do you think brings you that infirmity? Oh, those are the gifts of due benevolence between a husband and a wife, because he knows what you need in order to be ready for him. For the power of Christ to rest upon your life, to transform you from glory to glory, he's got to get you out of you and onto him. And the way that comes, praise God, is with this all-wonderful, all-powerful Word of God. But know this, in these times of this chastening and this cutting, praise God, these are the most painful times of our lives. And they're truly painful for Christians who really love the Lord. Those that of us that by the grace of God understand and know that Jesus is in love with me. But boy, when he sends that in those mighty times, those monumental moments where, oh, he's doing a chiseling. Oh, how it can cut your heart. The Word of God has a way like no other to have you truly face who you are but for God. And I'm talking like moments for Peter as he boasted in his love for Christ, but the Lord wanted more for Peter. Peter, that's still your strength, honey. I want you to have the power of me to rest upon you, so that you'll grow into the glory that my Father has seen for you, Peter, in ages past. So that moment, like for Peter, after he had denied the Lord three times, could you imagine the Lord to come back to him and question, Peter, do you love me? I was thinking about this week, and it just drew tears from my eyes to think of how brokenhearted Peter must have been. And how brokenhearted I know I have been time and time again with him. As he's pressed me through these times that were appointed for Jesse. To abandon my godliness. And begin to receive the Spirit's power. How about the times like for David, facing the Word of God through the prophet. David, you're the man. You are the one that is wrong and has murdered the innocent. And we read these things and we see them and they touch our hearts and we're moved and we understand the ways of God. But when the ways of God deal with us in these monumental times of our lives, do we allow the chastening to stop us? They've got to stop you. And by the grace of God, are you allowing them to change you? And I'm not talking about the change that you want to see in your eyes. I'm talking about the change of heart. See, man's always looking for an action where God is looking on the heart. So you can try to fool yourself with an action, but that won't be lasting. It has to come from the heart. That's why the Word of God always talks about the bended knee. That's why it's always the altar, brothers and sisters. That's why I do encourage you. There's something about an altar. That's why they've gotten rid of them. That's why Christian churches have stages. And they don't have altars anymore. That's why don't get too busy for your things after the church is over. Oh, it's over. It's time to go. No, it's not. It's time to worship. It's time to worship. And those at home, is really, as they listen to this, and you come to the end of the service, don't just say sigh and that's it. Your home is an altar. Everywhere Abraham went, there was an altar. He was worshiping God. There was worship in his heart. That's why he continued on to seek that continuing city. He didn't see things with his eyes. He saw it with his heart. But that heart, it had to be cut on and wounded. And Abraham would strike out in his strength. And God would correct. And the difference was, is Abraham would be humble. And he would take it. And he would embrace it. And he would thank God for dealing with him. And he would thank God for leading me into that furnace. It's hard to go in the furnace. Give God a chance in the furnace. There's a lot of folks that aren't giving God that chance. Get in there. You'll come forth more precious than gold tried in the fire. Don't be afraid of it. See, the word of God will reveal your rebellion. The word of God will always reveal your bitterness. And when you receive it, you'll surrender with a broken heart. When you're hardened and you're bitter and the word of God is revealing and you remain hardened and bitter, you're not embracing what God has brought to deliver you. Sometimes people never face the obvious. How we react to the Lord's all-knowing word means everything. We all can speak from experience when we've delayed and refused the cuts, when we didn't embrace that wonderful, sharper than any two-edged sword to come into our lives. As it's approached and we've heard, but yet we turn away. See, what happens is the enemy can get you to think that you're so right about something. The enemy can get you to think that your cause is just and courageous. But I'm here to preach the word of God to you today. And I pray I hear it too. And there's simple proof. And a simple truth to what's really going on in your heart as these things come. And I think one of the greatest questions that you can ever ask, I should say your heart could ever answer, are the steps that I am making through this, are they leading me and my family to more of Paul's gospel? Am I gathering the much the more with those that love Paul's gospel? Where is the state of my worship in the Holy Ghost? I'm glad you're real quiet. Where are we? Where are we? See, the Lord's not messing around today. Matter of fact, the Lord doesn't ever mess around. And I thank the Lord, truly. It seems like every sermon He's ever given, and He gives them, But every sermon he's given me to preach without fail, somebody will call or come up to me and say, "Brother, that was just for me." Sometimes, too, that was about me. Either it's received in joy that God is dealing with me, or somehow the same dealing with God can be received in resentment. Somehow God got personal with me. But I've got news for you. God will always get personal with you. He's a personal God. He's not there for show. He's going to get right down to it. He knows that we don't have much time. He told you, "You're but grass that grows in the morning is mowed down." You say, "Well, Lord, let's take time on this." No. Just like the question to Rebecca, "Will you go?" And there wasn't time to, you know, get in there and think about it and write down a list. Well, here's the pros and cons and here's the reasons why and not. There was an answer that was required, and there was only one that you should give. "I'll go." Well, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. I can assure you by the grace of God, I never wanted to be a pastor. I didn't. It wasn't that I never thought about being a pastor. I never wanted to be a pastor. I saw some things. I was in a family that had a pastor. Appreciated it greatly, but I didn't want it. My life, I can tell you truthfully, naturally speaking, there was no reason for me to do it. Our pastor even wondered at times when ones would make comments, you know how families do. "Oh, Jess has got a business." And Jess thought the same thing. This is what God called me to do. And you know what? He did call me to do that. And he gave me a business. And people that would look at that would say, "Well, he would be crazy to do what he did." I can attest to that. And I can tell you that it wasn't me that did it. It was God. Because I think people that really know me, well, they would say I'm crazy, but I'm really not that crazy. But I can assure you one thing. When God called me into this, he put something in my heart. He put a passion in my heart. And it changed me. And it changed me immediately, and it continues to change me. But that passion has never changed. And that passion is by the grace of God to be encouraged with everything that is it within me to help you, to encourage you to win God's best and not to come up short and not to preach anything to you but the whole counsel of God and to stand with stand and having done all to stand and to fight against the little foxes that would come in to spoil the vine. To fight against the little leaven that will come in and leaven the lump. There is a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and it doesn't come from a lot of ways. It's one. It's exact. It comes through Paul's gospel. It comes through that preaching. It comes through not varying from it. It comes from hearing it and giving the more earnest heed to hearing it. And not varying from it. How could we neglect so great salvation? Amen? How could we hear things that we have heard and see the things by faith that we have seen and yet not continue to go after what God has said? Preach no other gospel. Oh, yeah. Brothers and sisters, let's be sincere. Truly sincere. Are the choices that I am making, are they leading me on to more of Paul's gospel? Are they leading me on to more bridal truth? More. not just the same, but even more. Is that word changing this life from glory to glory? Lord, I want more. I don't want to be content with my habits. I know people that will brag about, well, here's my day and what I do for God. I pray at this time. I pray at that time. I pray at this time. And I'm in my word from this to this. Praise God. But don't let it be your idol, you and your effort. It'd be like me saying to the one whom I love, well, look at all the time I spend with you. Look at all the things I do for you. Would that be love? I want to spend time with him. You know why? Because he spends every moment with me. Let the word of God affect you. Your heart. Let it groan for him and who he is and what he's given all these years preached to you. The seas that he's dried up. The way that he had brought you to the truth. You know it's a miracle. Every one of us know it's a miracle. I look at my life. I think about my mom. People would say, oh, it was a tragedy of tragedy. Her mother was married. And my mom was conceived. And her natural father wanted nothing to do with it. I'm gone. In that day, right there after the Depression, here you are going to have a child and your husband's left and you have no money. I guess we define that as human beings. It's over. We define that for God. It's my time. And then you all know the story about our pastor for so many years. That one child that of that family that would never come to God. It's a miracle. And here I stand today. It's a miracle. And you know what? The fight that I have every week, just like the fight you got every week and you got every week, it's a miracle we're here every week, isn't it? Are the choices I'm making for my family, are they moving us into more of Paul's gospel? We got a wicked world, and it's subtly wicked. And it's coming in like a flood. Are the choices that I'm making, are they changing my life from glory to glory? Am I teaching my children to look to man and society for happiness? Are you listening? Am I teaching my children to look to man and society for happiness? Because you're going to rob them. You will rob them. Or am I looking to the exceeding great and precious promises of God that will bless them? I'm so thankful I had a mom that looked to God. It's blessed me. It's blessed my brothers and sisters. And we know it, don't we, sis? It didn't pass us by. Because my mom was on her knees and she prayed. And she prayed believing, and there wouldn't be anything in our home spoken of or preached but the whole counsel of God. That's the difference. That's the difference. And to whom much is given, much is required. That's why when we step away from the things of God, you talk about the wheels coming off. They come off. And thank God they do. When you step away from truth, it's always going to be like that. You will be robbed. Brothers and sisters, I'm thankful. I've received the passion that, you know what, when your house is on fire, I'm not walking by. I won't do it. Those are the hearts that follow Paul as he followed Christ. He laid it out there. He didn't mince words. When Peter was just getting weird, he went up to him and he said, he rebuked him to his face, "What are you doing? You're leading people away from God. You're bringing them into bondage." Let me tell you something. He was even naming names. Demas has forsaken me. He loves the world. The present world. Are you loving the present world? Or are you in love with Paul's gospel? Amen. Brothers and sisters, he's coming. He's right there. He said, Titus isn't with me. Crescens isn't with me. He wasn't trying to hurt and afflict and injure for somebody not to come back. He said, wake up. I love you. This gospel loves you with a passion you can't even imagine. But what are you going to do with this? Brothers and sisters, we need to wake up to people, to the people in our life that really love us. Not ones that'll pat you on the head and stir up fleshly desires. This is truth. This is truth. The people that love you point you to winning Christ. They point you to winning Christ. They point you to the whole counsel of God. Those are the ones that really, really love you. Who is my family? Who is my family? That's your family. That's who we are. That's who God has appointed to our life to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom. And there goes one of them. And that's the truth. But they're ones that have preached to you the word of His grace. That haven't varied from it. That have told you time and time again, this is the only way. This is it. They're the ones that started out standing, having done all they stand, and by the grace of God, they continue to stand. They haven't stood for a little while and then waver off. They're the ones that their words can be very cutting. And I'm talking about ones that love you in the truth. Because they love you with the word of God. You've heard the verse that better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. You know who understands that? The good soldiers that endure hardness. I remember a time in my life, and I'm telling you, that I was so on fire for God and working with the young people. I think it was almost about 30 years old. And there were things beginning to stir up in the meeting. And I didn't know necessarily what was going on, but I didn't care. But I went back to see Brother Hill about something because he called me back there. And he said, son, you're not going to have the young people anymore. And it shocked me. I didn't know why. It hurt me. But there was something that needed to cut into my life. And I didn't understand it right at the moment. And let me tell you something, I heard some harsh words before from people that loved perfectly. I heard him tell people that were in a brokenhearted state, saying, oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God, and yet that one that really loved them turned to him and said, you should be ashamed. Brothers and sisters, listen to ones that love the truth. Paul stood for the gospel of Christ. He didn't waver. We're in this moment. Jesus is coming. It's going to come fast. Matter of fact, so fast it's a twinkling of an eye. And I believe there's going to be some that are going to be surprisingly sad that heard Paul's gospel. That instead of embracing their bridegroom, they're still going to be embracing themselves and the cares of this life. The Lord encourage us today. Break before God. Be sincere before the Lord. Let the word today truly cut the heart. He just wants you to surrender to Him. He'll do all the work. He'll do all the changing. He just wants you to embrace the cut. All the things that are hard, He'll deal with them. All the things that are bitter to you, He'll deal with them. He really will. He just wants you to accept the cut. To say, thank you, Jesus. You love me so much. You sent me the word of God that I'm the man. And that doesn't just happen once a year, by the way. You know, it happens every day. There's something about that beautiful sword pressed against my heart that causes me to sing. I just want to be tender every day. Every single day, when you hit that flatliner that you just think you're all good as a Christian, you're not. You're not. There's so much more. There's so much more tenderness He can work in your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss the ravishing of Jesus. You'll miss it all if you do. Yeah. All them idols that you know that they're there. He's dealing with you right now. It's beautiful. And it's good because He loves you. Let Him cut it now. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I'm going to quit being stoic before you. I'm going to quit being that model person that's strong. Bring that sword and let me press it. Oh, yes.
Will you hear me? I have chosen this vessel. I have given him the words. Will you hear the words? Will you please come to my heart? By his own brothers. How must he have felt?
Father.
My love, I did not choose you because you were strong. I chose you in your weakness.
Yes.
You have little strength. I have set before you an open door. I want you to go through. But only grace can help you go through. You can't go in your own strength.
Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're so tender, faithful. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. It's on my heart right now. He's just telling me. I encourage each and every heart here today. We're going to wrap up right now. Don't leave this place without letting Him allow you to press that to your heart. So come and pray and believe Him.